Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday, while another dense, foggy morning, it'll burn off a little bit in selected areas. Other than that, mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures around 43, 44 degrees. Tonight, the clouds and fog will hang around, low temperatures dropping down to about 36. For Thursday, fog in the morning, burning off to mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 46. And then mostly clear skies for Thursday night. Low temperatures back down about 35. For Friday and running up into the weekend, warmer temperatures, highs in the upper 40s, and partly sunny skies.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Is your life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com.
Imagine starting your week off with a teaching, a clearing, and an activation direct from the God Consciousness. If you would like to feel more in charge of your week ahead, then I personally invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, for our monthly Soul Sunday non-denominational service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, online or in person. All donations for this event go to the TLC Initiative Fund to help those in need. Sign up now at TracyLClark.com and let's connect together in the glory realm.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We got a great lineup for you today. One of the things that I love to really talk about and look at is leadership. And there's a lot of reasons I'm not going to go into in this show, because if I did, there would be no time for you to get to know up close and personal Amber and Austin from Sua Vera. Now, why is this important? I was very fortunate to study with Peter Drucker. So many people are like, I don't even know who that is. Okay. But one of the things that was so important is to understand the unique blend of strong leadership, results orientation, and heart-centered approaches. But somewhere along the way, heart-centered got dropped. It was like there. And then when it got transferred into actually working as a consultant with corporations, the whole heart thing like disappeared. Here's what it is. It's one of the greatest oopsies of corporate productivity, efficiency, and human potential that ever existed. The minute that somebody decided they were going to alter the landscape of leadership to literally eliminate anything that had to do with heart or heart leaders or heart-centered, they open up a whole door for violating trust. Today, you're going to take a journey with us because there's a movement happening. And it's a movement that is so far overdue. And yet, I must say, the things that have been happening for the past couple of years have literally accelerated the need, desire to implement heart-centered leadership and heart leaders. Not only that, and I'm going to end with this, and we're going to go right to Amber and Austin. All you need to do, if you talk to Amber, Amber Mickasell, founder of Swivera, and we have Austin, co-founder. Much more than that. They are so much more than any of that. But they bridge a gap, and they're going to tell you what that gap is. But here's why people and corporations are willing to spend money now on this. Money. Like, okay, let me hire you to, like, help people, train them. Because the latest poll that was done in the recruiting arena, when asked people from, I don't know what generation we're on right now, whatever it is, like a Z or an X or a Y, whatever that is, they had to pick their number one non-negotiable for the company they were going to work for. And what do you think that non-negotiable was? What was the non-negotiable? I'm not answering that. I'm going to let Amber and Austin do that. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you. So grateful to be here with you, lady.
You know, so conversations where when I think about both of you and what you've done and what you've created, you are way ahead of the curve, like ahead of the curve. So somewhere you each figured out whether, Amber, it was in your private practice, you know, whether it was creating this enormous human transformation, human potential organization, whether it was being a master life and health coach. I could go on with the list. And for you, Austin, the same, right? It's whether it was your beginnings where you're looking at, you know, embodying compassion and intellect and trying to figure that out, or what you're seeing in the world of marketing and management and asking yourself, wait a minute, now I'm a certified life coach. I'm a meditation practitioner. I'm not even going to talk about plant-based nutrition. We should do a whole show on that. But now here you both are. And when I put that all together and then add the word leader, it's like, to most people, it's like an oxymoron. It's like, oh, you can't do that. So let's talk. Amber, let's start out with you.
All right.
Somewhere along the way, and I mean this because I sat in the room with Drucker. Somewhere along the way, everything that's been written to describe successful leaders, the way it was originally written and then the way it got pitched in HR, Heart Center got dropped off. So tell us what a heart leader is. And then both of you, I think it's a big oopsie. I want to know what you think, Amber. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. And, yeah, coming from a corporate background, once in my life, I had a similar experience. You would go into these seminars, and they were fantastic because they would have you look at your personality blend and who you were as an individual, and you would find out all this stuff, and then they were like, okay, great. Now you know that. Now plug into this model instead. Because if you want to be a leader, all that has to sit on the back burner. You have to know those skills, but you have to fit into this model. And I was like, okay, well, that makes me a very square peg attempting to fit into a very round hole. It just didn't fit. No matter what I did, no matter how much I attempted to shave off my little square edges, it just wasn't going to happen because I did have so much compassion for the teams that were working so diligently to strive for the success of the organizations. And anytime I didn't have that compassion, they knew it. And so they didn't feel connected to our purpose or our mission as an organization. They felt disconnected. And so it was creating this chain of events where, like, there was lip service being paid, but no real connection to that purpose. Mm-hmm. And it really started to make me personally not well, professionally not well. And that's what started kind of this whole chain of events in my life. And I saw it happening with other leaders, other individuals who desired to be leaders, and even how it kind of trickled down into how I led my life, because it starts to create questions in your mind, like, if this is how I'm supposed to behave at work, is this how I'm supposed to behave at home? Is this how I'm supposed to behave in my social circles? Like, I spend a lot of my time at work And so we start to learn behavior patterns and shifts. And so that's where Heart Leader came into play, because we're leaders in so many aspects of our life, not just at work, whether you're in a leadership role or not. So how are we leading our lives with heart and compassion and love? And then how can we say, no, I'm not going to be a square peg attempting to fit into a round hole. I'm just going to be my square peg. That's it. I know who I am, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. You know, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, those of us that have spent a number of years in corporate, like whether it's corporate America or working overseas, it depends on where you work. We discover a few things along the way. But yet we don't really have a way to talk about it. What you've created is a way for us to have a dialogue about it, right? And so the study, Austin, welcome. The study that was done was by a recruiting firm. I believe it was Sodexo. I know I interviewed them on this. Had a really short 15-minute interview. And they went through and they were sharing the latest results. And out of everything that the candidates could have picked across the board, you would think in the world we live in, right, all the dialogue about millennials, that money would have been number one or security. No. They said non-negotiable, I must work for a company that shows compassion and empathy. Mm. Now, when I asked the recruiting firm that did the study, great. What are you doing to train people about that? That was an answer I never got back. You lost it? What do you make of that? I don't think you're surprised, but what do you make of
that? Sadly, I'm not surprised. you know, unfortunately. I feel like there's been this corporate adoption of a term called thought leader over the last decade or so.
Oh, yeah.
And, no, it's good. Humans need... We need thoughts. We need logic. We need, you know, that leads to innovation, which is key to the growth of our species and the evolution of where we desire to go. But the problem is when we get so caught up in our thoughts, in our heads, in our logic, we get disconnected from our heart. We start to lose that compassion, lose that empathy, lose that connection. And so that to me is where Heart Leader really can step in and, as you were saying, bridge that gap. We can have thought and logic paired beautifully with heart connection and compassion to still create a global impact. And that's really what I feel is an opportunity for not just corporations, but all of humanity is to adopt this understanding. Because unlike thought leadership, most thought leaders are the CEOs or high-level position holders in companies. And that's a very small percentage of the world. We all know that we're stronger together. And that's the beauty of heart leadership, is that we can all be heart leaders. Whether you do hold a high-level position, that's great. But, you know, if you're maybe even a child in a family and you're showing your other siblings or your family a greater depth of love and connection, or you're a nurse, you know, working so hard right now to help so many people. I mean, there's so many different ways to be a heart leader. You can, and that's what I feel is so unique about being a heart leader, is that it's really about a limitless expression of leadership, starting with the self and flowing out into the world.
Mm. I love this, and I love that you both are talking about it. I want to just jump for a minute, and we're going to skip the second break if we could. I want to just jump for a minute because there's a space. And what I mean by space, there's a space between where you are today and maybe who you are as a leader and who you want to become. And that space so often for me as an HR executive and then as a consultant, for one of the top consulting firms here in Seattle, you know, I always found myself not just explaining the place you're going to get to, but I remember having to almost justify why it was important to get there, why it was important. And I want to ask you, I'm going to hop back to you and then Austin, you with this question. There are so many misconceptions about what the heart leader is about. Total misconceptions. And a language to tell leaders or people in leadership positions what this is. I found myself explaining to them, probably out of my New York frustration moment, saying, look, if you don't do this, here are the consequences. Now, that's, I found myself literally at that point saying, you could either stay where you are or you could change because your team is changing. But there are end game results that will come as to what you decide. And you're probably laughing at me, right? And were you like, how many of those conversations did you have to have like that? Probably you didn't say it quite like that, but I really didn't know how to get through to these people sitting around a board table without saying, you want to talk about results, your results. What have you had to do to, one, describe the movement and then describe the motivation for the movement, Amber?
I love that question because you get met with so much resistance for something that is so beneficial because we have created this caution approach to everything. We've all been burnt so many times with so many of these come in and we're going to help you kind of things, and I get that. But ultimately, we're not... This whole movement is about the benefit of connection. And so when you are saying that you're explaining, like, here's the outcome if you don't do it, and there are a lot of outcomes from not doing it, and we're experiencing those right now. We don't even have to really talk about what will happen. All we have to do is look around and see what is happening.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
As a result of not being connected, of disconnecting from our hearts and just thinking about, oh, if I do this, then I'm going to get this, and not kind of feeling through, okay, but if I do this and I get this, what will that do to the greater whole? What impact am I having on the future? How am I not considering the rest of humanity in the choice that I'm making? But it always has to start with yourself. And what that is doing for self and how I'm impacting myself and my energy. And so when we have the discussion about the movement, it's always what's in it for you first.
Yeah.
Everybody has to understand what's in it for me and what are the benefits I'm immediately going to gain across all aspects of my life by embracing being a heart leader. And then how do I roll that out into other aspects of my life, my family, my friends, my community, my career, however that flows. But first, let's get a strong hold right here, strong footing within myself. And that's really how we do it.
Yeah. I learned two things in those boardrooms. I don't even believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to pump this over to you now. I learned two really important things. I learned the art of talk to the audience you're in front of. That one. The other thing I learned is don't wear pink. And that's another show, but that's true. I mean, after you spend an hour doing a fantastic presentation, and the only thing one of the vice presidents of development says to you is, pink, really, Pat? But it's all part of the nuance of what we're talking about. You know, Austin, look, if you would talk about, for us, there is this transition, and I call it a gap. I don't know if that's correct or not, but you all know where we are. You all know what's being called for. You can see through what you created in heart-centered leadership, you already know that your organization is beginning the dialogue. You've been doing it. You know, you've been speaking to the people on social media that follow you, all of that, right? are people, Austin, what is your sense, are people ready to embrace that, to become that? And if so, what do you see are their top questions, right? I know I come from a very biased corporate background, but you're out there talking to people every day. What is on their hearts, right? What are they talking about? What are they concerned about and most excited about? Let's start with you on that, Austin, if we could.
Absolutely.
Cool.
I feel like you actually already said one of the main questions, and it is, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
And that's a question that is a natural response when we are stuck in the head and not in the heart, when we're overthinking. It's no wonder that we have disharmony around us when there's disharmony within us. And what heart leadership has the opportunity to do is to provide a pathway for us to understand how to create deeper harmony within ourselves and then be able to relay that out into the world around us. And I would say that's, in many ways, what people are itching for. They are searching for. They know that there is a better way to do things. And I feel like there is, many people are stuck in a conflict between the heart and the head right now. They want to be in their heart, but we've honestly been taught not to be. And so the question is, how do I even get there? When, you know, Amber and I said this, we need to go within. I remember the first time she told me that, and I was just like, what does that even mean? Like, how do I go in? Like, I don't even understand that concept. Like, what does that even mean? And so, you know, I feel like we get so caught up in the fact that we're human doings, forgetting that the reality is that we're human beings.
Yeah.
You know, when we connect with our being, when we're in our heart and we are authentically who we are, then we don't have to think about how we interact. It does come naturally. And that is in that connection, in that love. And love is the most natural thing that we do.
Yeah. I want to ask you a tough question. Both of you, a tough question as a leader and a practitioner and, you know, somebody that has owned multiple businesses. And also I have been fired from every job I've ever had. So I just want to put that out there for a lot of good reasons, stuff, right? You know, I got fired because I didn't have the courage to quit on my own and I just rebelled. You don't want to do that. If you're in a corporation and you really want to have a career there, you need to really look at your options. But here's the thing that I want to ask you. I studied leadership. I'm going to say it the way I felt it at the time. I was forced to include leadership in my dissertation. Looking back, it was one of the many blessings that I had to do in my research. It was, because I discovered a little known research theory that nobody is using, not a single person. But here's the tough question that I want to put on the table for you. The misconceptions about heart-centered leadership and someone that demands results is so misconstrued. We've gone through this period, right? Where people find heart-centered as, oh, you never fire anybody. Oh, you're never really direct. Oh, you never really tell anybody what to do. Oh, you never really hold people accountable for stuff they don't. Where does this say to us? Austin?
Yeah, you know, Amber and I just had this conversation recently, and I feel that the misconception comes from the fact that we, and I can tell especially as a man, been taught that showing, whether it's showing emotion or being heartfelt, is a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And the reality is that, you know, at least I found that that's actually the opposite. When love is the strongest energy that is in this universe, it transcends all time, space, culture. I mean, you name it. Everyone understands love. How we've all experienced it might be different, but everyone understands love. That's the one language that connects us all. You know, even animals and people and plants alike, they all respond to love. And so when we are tapping into that, we are actually accessing the strongest energy. And so it is true strength to be loving, caring, heart-centered. It does not mean to be weak or even aloof or not illogical. Those logic becomes a byproduct when you have heart-centered connection. And so we can still lead with heart and then bring logic, understanding to actually execute whatever it is that we desire to.
Yeah, which means that if the logical thing to do is to let a team member go, then you have to let the team member go. But you can do it in a compassionate way that doesn't destroy them.
Yeah, and this is really the essence of what I want to talk with you both about when we come back from break. You know, however one gets there is a personal journey. Part of this, I look at this like so many of personal changes I've made to myself in my life, and perfection is not the key to transformation. I don't know about you two, but I have stepped in potholes with leadership, with management, with entrepreneuring, with being a follower, with being of service and mentoring women in addiction. I have stepped in more potholes. But here's the question for you when we come back. How do we get out of the pothole? What are some of the essence of heart leaders? And they've been in the potholes. I don't know anybody that has not been in the pothole and that has been successful. But what sets them apart? The pothole? I'm not in the pothole anymore. How did I get out of there and still gain the respect of the people I work for? Before we go to break, such a good show. How do we find out about you all and tell people what you are doing with Heart Center Movement or Heart Leader Movement?
So you can find out more about us at sweevera.org. And you can learn more about everything we have going on, including so many free resources and something we have called, we just recently launched it, a Heart Leader Toolbox. And there are so many free tools that you can download that as when we come back, getting out of the pothole, these are little steps on a ladder that can help you climb right on out of there. So sweevera.org.
And Jacob, you're going to have to totally replace my mispronunciation of it. And Benny will tell you for 20 years, I am bound to mispronounce something during the show. And Barbara Seidiger, who is from Sweden, would be like, really? Did you say it that way, Suvera? Sorry, go ahead.
And then, of course, thanks to you and the team at the Transformation Network, we have the Heart Leader Podcast. So if you are connected to this movement, you know, every week we have a brand new episode talking to people, all walks of life, leaders of industry and community,
and all over the world,
yeah. Including yourself, Dr. Patton. You've been an amazing, amazing guest sharing your story. It's really fun to see different people showing what it means to be a heart leader in different parts of the world.
I love it. And when we come back, just so you all know, I know that sometimes you have questions. Maybe they're not about you. Maybe they're about, I don't know how to handle my boss, or I don't know this, or can I get some help or some suggestions or advice? You all know this with my show. We always have the phone lines open, 1-800-930-2819. Or if you're over on Facebook, Transformation Talk Radio, type your question in there. Also, I've noticed some of our listeners have my cell phone. So you also have been texting me. Way to go. I love it all. When we come back, we're going to take a look at, do I need a big ladder to get out of that pothole, or maybe just a hand up, or maybe both? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with my two fantastic co-hosts today. We'll be right back.
My sister, my love, all Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Who's in that video, Benny?
That's an easy one. You're listening to her. Go ahead, Pat. Tell everybody where you can find you.
Where did you get the video from?
I got the song a long time ago.
We'll have to tell everybody. Yes. That was, by the way, that was a heart-centered, heart-leader experience right there. We should do a whole show just on that experience, because it was a video we were asked to come be part of, and it included an upcoming artist called Tata Prince, and his uncle happened to be John Legend. And so
lucky.
It was surreal to be there, but that wasn't really the point of it. When Jessica and I came back, we were different. We changed. I've never seen so much heart leadership in one place at one time to create transformative change. And I'm talking about people that came together. None of us really knew what we were doing there. But the energy of it, the momentum, that's what you both are creating. Can you please remind folks again, because I'm probably going to skip the next break, please tell folks how they can get involved with what you're doing.
So to get involved, you can explore the Heart Leader Toolbox, which you can find out more about at suivera.org. You can also tune in to the Heart Leader Podcast right here on the Transformation Network every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and just let us know if you have specific questions or even topics about heart leadership, and we would be happy to cover those. We are all about having a community. We do have a community on Facebook, which you can find under the same suivera.org, where there's over 1 million people worldwide who are engaging in the movement and really just leaning on one another and learning from one another about what it means to lead a heart-centered life in all aspects of their life.
Yeah, I love it. And you can take your jet plane to get there, because that's the way you want to go. You want to just get up and go fast and get there. I want to spell it. For those of you out there, I want you to make sure you go there. And it's S is in Sam, U, I, Vera, V-E-R-A. You all got that? S-U-I-V-E-R-A.org. Make sure you get there. You can Google it. You can look at it. You can get it. If you're watching right now, it's like going across the screen. So the question before the break that I asked really had to do with understanding what a toolbox is. And the pothole analogy is something, I'm from the East Coast, there are potholes everywhere. And, you know, some potholes would do minimum damage to your vehicle. Some potholes totally destroy everything, bust your axle, the whole thing. Leadership is the same. You know, there are so many different levels. But the difference between recovery is how many things are in your toolbox to get you out of that pothole and smooth sailing. And that's the toolbox, the heart leader toolbox that I think you referred to and you're creating. It's a free portal. It's free education. I love that. But there's a reason you created it. And I would love for you to talk about the essence of it and how it will help people rise up. Who wants to go first?
Go for it.
I like that.
Yeah, it really came to light because, honestly, before I got the fall in love with my best friend here, Amber, she was a mentor for me, someone who was, like myself, who was really lost, who had everything on paper they could want, and I know that you can relate to that, Dr. Pat, but felt so disconnected. And Amber starts just giving me these tools to help me love myself, to help me understand even what love was, that it wasn't just a Hallmark thing that was marketed, that it actually was real, and it resides within us. And the more love that we can hold from within, the more love we can actually give to those around us, which is exactly all I desire to do. And so these tools help me understand that. And the best thing that Amber did, not only by providing these tools, but she gifted them freely, she gifted them lovingly, and she gifted them regularly. And so it was never too much that I couldn't handle, but it was always in a flow, always in a pathway, always to help me keep growing and growing and growing. And you brought up just in our last segment that, you know, one issue is about perfection, the idea of perfection. Well, perfection is stagnation. And if we desire to keep growing, then those are opposing ideologies. And so it's not really about the result. It's really about the process. And that's what this toolbox is all about. It's providing an open process with a bunch of different tools, because every single month we have a new theme, whether it's we started with gratitude, then we moved into the balancing of giving and receiving. This month is authenticity. Next month is vulnerability. All these are key attributes of what it means to be a heart leader. And so every single month we provide a free tool that just shows up right in this membership portal. And all the podcasts every single week that support that theme will be showing up in there as well. And we just have a ton of free bonuses in there for other things like our Mirror Technique Self-Love Worksheet, 12 Laws of the Universe, different nutrition stuff as well, because that way we can really show love to ourselves, body, mind, emotion, spirit.
One of the things that never made sense to me, and Amber, maybe you can address this, and thank you for that, Austin. That's so, so needed. One of the things that never made sense to me when I decided to go back to school after a 25-year career was in the thing I wanted to study, Broken Promises, I never understood why, up to that point, all of the research had to do with perceptions between the entity, a company, and the employee. And I never understood it to change that theory. And I made a case to say, look, my experience in corporate America is, yeah, there's the company, and we don't trust them anyway. So let's just, but that's not your everyday interaction. You are in front of somebody. I don't, team leader, supervisor, they're all leaders, right, Amber? That's what they are. So when we're looking at leadership, It is so refreshing that you both have brought the conversation away from company, like an entity nobody can put their finger on, to people. How important is the understanding of that? Because that in itself has got to be a major goal. We're talking about people to people, aren't we?
I love that you bring this up because, yes, when I wasn't in a corporate environment, it was always easy for the leaders to hide behind the company, right? I'm just part of the process. It's not me. But that's part of it. It's then I don't have to own my actions. But we do. As people, no matter what, we are choosing how we act, whether that is within our company environment or whether that is outside of that environment in social circles, family circles, whatever. We only understand that, though, once we are in direction of who we are, and then we show up authentically from that place. And so as leaders or even as individuals who are going in to work every day and interacting with leaders, we have to get to a place where we start saying, I am coming to you as my leader, not as a spokesperson for the company.
Right.
I can do my own research on the company, and as I have questions, then I will ask you about that aspect. But I'm coming to you as my leader to give me direction as a person. And as the leader, I need to see that person as a person and not an asset to the company, because we lost that connection in that, as Austin was saying, that thought leadership. People became assets to a company and not truly people who are creating and executing a vision that we're putting in motion.
And, you know, the reason I'm bringing it up is twofold. One is that there's an aspect of this that organizations could learn. And again, in order to make my point, maybe this is a pattern with me, I don't know. In order to make my point, I didn't study psychological contracts or promises. I studied the violation of them because I couldn't get anybody's attention, right? It's one thing to say, look, promises are important, whether they're implicit or explicit. When you study something and you demonstrate that underneath this study points to heart leadership, because heart leaders build trust. They don't break trust. You know, heart leaders keep their word. Heart leaders are people that are known to be people of integrity, even if it is subjective.
Yes. We just need to get you as a spokesperson.
I mean, if you lived it, right, like I've lived it and you've lived it, then you get passionate about it. But I want to ask you both, as we move forward with the movement, boy, I'd like to hear from each of you. When you look out and you see how this body of work you put together is taking on, can you describe to me then what a heart leader organization might look like, Amber?
Yes, I would be honored to. So Zivera is one that we are creating in this essence just so we can practice what we're preaching, right? It has to begin within. We say this, and so it has to begin within our own organization. And from that observation, a heart leader organization is one where there are multiple individuals who hold leadership positions, because we're all leaders. And it's when the need comes based on project that individuals step up into their strength and leadership role. So it's not any one above another. It is we all have our own respective strengths. And when those strengths are needed, we step into the leadership role. And when they're not, we step back and we lift up the other individual to be the leader that they are. So in that way, we're all empowering each other to be leaders in our own right. And it's a very connected and recognizing approach where we all feel heard been seen, and it really inspires us all to then just keep going and really keep building the organization forward and carrying it forward. There's always a meeting where we share how we're feeling and what that sparks as far as thought, because creativity comes through feel first, then thought. And so to keep that creativity moving forward, we start with feeling. Like, I feel this would be a great movement forward. And if it's not now, then it might be in the future. And we put it in a future movement kind of segment and what we are documenting for projects in the future. So that's a little bit of how we have our organization running in that way.
Wow. You know, often for you, as you are part of this and you're building it and you're watching it, you know, when you take a, you know, let's just say take a jump ahead, what most excites you about the ripple effect that this will create?
Beautiful question. I feel that the ripple effect is greater than we could imagine. To me, I feel that this is an answer for humanity to release the illusion of separation. It's truly a connection point. When we see each other, we can recognize that we aren't different, not in a way that separates us, but unity isn't uniformity. And so when we can truly honor each other, celebrate some of the differences, but recognize that, you know, we're all here, we're all humans, we all are experiencing life, and a vast majority of who and what we are very similar. And so that's what I feel the ripple effect is long term. And the fun part about this is that we actually are already doing this in many different ways. We see this in families. We see this in organizations. I mean, how many movies have we watched about sports teams that know that they work better as a team, and, you know, they get halfway through the movie, they get fragmented because one individual wanted to step out and be the shining star, and then the whole team kind of starts to falter. But, and then that individual had to realize, no, it's not about me, it's about us, it's about the team, it's about lifting each other up. And then they go on and win. And so we know it works. We've seen it, we celebrate it. We just kind of need to get out of our own way and start to recognize that this can be applied in all aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited for.
I'm so thrilled about this because, you know, I mentioned the body of research that I took on, but her previous to me, Dr. Cotter pointed out in 1973 the essence of productivity, performance, and relationships in corporations pivotal between yourself and your boss, however you define that. And yet that body of research was ignored for so long. And what you all are talking about, and certainly what I studied for like 10 years, took me a while. I'm a little slow. My undergraduate degree took me 13 years. But when I finally got it, I was able to articulate it. But we were never allowed to use the word heart. Now think about that. What you're doing is you are redefining a body of research that theoretically has been called leader-member exchange, exchange theory, I don't care what you call it. Because at the essence of all of that theoretical work, all of the research done by so many people before me and so many people after me, is at the core of what you're talking about. We're not talking about a transactional paper that you push from one end of the table to the other. Talking about to you, what you say to me, and do you actually believe I'm going to do what I say? Can I trust you? When you look ahead and what you're building.
Is there anything you want to give us a little sneak peek of what's coming next?
I'm excited about it. I am so glad that you're taking this out in a big way. Why? If you read the qualitative research, the quotes from people, you will see how wounded people are, both employees and managers. And we have got to stop that bleeding. Amber, what do you think?
I could not agree more. Not only in a corporate environment, but in a family environment. I know there's, since 2 years ago, when so many of us were shut in and families were already having challenges being close to one another, and then suddenly all the distractions of the external world were taken away, and we were faced with spending so much time together, things began to just kind of crumble because we didn't have the tools to really know how to have conscious conversations with one another and not separate out the action from the individual. And so these are tools, too, that when we look on the horizon, we're building out these sections within the heart leader toolbox where, look, if we are at a point where you have self-love, you have authenticity, you have that strong internal foundation, but where you take that to the next level with integrating with your family, because that dynamic is so disconnected, what can you do to build that bridge so that you can begin to have a much stronger dynamic there and not rely on them to make that happen, but know your actions and steps that can start to build that bridge? So there will be little segments where you can choose your next connection point. You are the hub. Where is the spoke going to connect you to other parts of your wheel, and how can you connect that?
Wow. It is so important that you're providing a gateway and a network for something that has been so elusive for people, how to translate what's actually in their hearts to how to be in the world. Austin, how about you?
Well, my love, as always,
I know the feeling.
But as she beautifully pointed out, this hub and spoke, you know, creating, you know, viewing ourselves as that wheel. And you pointed out what happens when a wheel hits a pothole.
Oh, boy.
You know, we need to have those tools to help us get out and get back going. So continuing to build this library and this toolbox of just great tools, great assets for people to really learn. I mean, I was fortunate to go to some of the greatest schools, you know, growing up, and I had all the tools to learn about the Pythagorean theorem, but not about, you know, emotional understanding, you know, mental hygiene, clarity, communication, all these things that I deal with on a daily basis, and I never deal with the Pythagorean theorem on a daily basis. And so providing those tools that we know that we have been so disconnected from and have been almost lost in daily life, when the reality is that they are the very essence of our daily life.
Just mentioning that theorem gave me a hot flash. I'm going to have to change my jacket for the next show. I guess. I had to almost flunk out in the first year of school. But what you're talking about is important, and we'll do more shows about this. You know, one of the things I didn't say in this body of research was that this was the first study of its kind that compared consequences of psychological contracts between an employee and a company versus an employee and a manager or supervisor. And the reason that was important to me is because that was my experience. When I lost my job, that was what was happening. But here's the thing that it says that points to your work. When all is said and done, the negative consequences for a violation are different. There's a difference between your company lying to you and your boss. Supervisor or team leader starts to break promises, and they don't know how to build a heart heart-centered or a heart leader portfolio for themselves. The end results for performance, productivity, trust, integrity, they're gone. And Amber and Austin, what you're doing is you're preventing something that is so absolutely hard or impossible to get back. See, isn't that what you're doing? Isn't it proactive leadership?
That is our goal. And we would love if you would ever be interested in cross-sharing research and information, because you have such a plethora that would assist us, and we would gladly share likewise the research we have. Just imagine what we could do with that information.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, for you all out there, you can Google this. I think it's published, but they spell my name wrong. They, like, don't spell it. Spell it like the bacteria, and that's, like, not it. And I just gave up. So even when the publishing company spell it wrong, you just say, no, I can give out your website if you could real quick.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's suivera.org. That's S as in Sam, U-I, V as in Victor, E-R-A.org.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, Travis, looking pretty good at the moment. No major slowing or blockings to report. Just a hair stop-and-go issue on Highway 18 eastbound at the 167. Everywhere else, Travis actually looks pretty good. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Coming up next, everybody.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. With reports of Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer retiring, President Biden is already getting suggestions for possible nominations. Former Obama White House Deputy Chief of Staff Jim Messina breaks down the next step.
Well, Ron Klain is going to be the absolute key. The President's Chief of Staff will help run the process for Barack Obama for both the picks when I was in the White House. He's someone who cares very deeply about this.
The President has previously said he would nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. Liberal activists have been pushing Biden to appoint Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court in the event of a vacancy. She was confirmed last year to the D.C.-based appellate court. Other names being mentioned by Democrats include Justice Leandra Kruger, who serves on the California Supreme Court. The U.S. and its allies are offering Russia a clear diplomatic path forward on Ukraine if Moscow chooses to accept it.
There are core principles that we are committed to uphold and defend, including Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, and the right of states to choose their own security arrangements and alliances.
That's according to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. He says Russia must first de-escalate tensions along the border with Ukraine. Russia's been amassing troops and military equipment on the border for weeks, prompting fears of an imminent invasion. The death rate for COVID is still on the rise, while new cases and hospitalizations are trending downward. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky again urged everyone to get fully vaccinated and wear masks in crowded settings, indoors and outdoors. The federal trial in the Minnesota killing of George Floyd enters its third day. Three former Minneapolis officers are accused of not providing medical help or stopping Floyd's 2020 arrest. Jurors were shown viral videos yesterday taken by witnesses, along with police body camera footage. Two stars from The Office are teaming up again. Steve Carell and John Krasinski will be working on a silver screen project, as Carell will star in the Krasinski-directed film If. The movie centered around a child's journey to rediscover their imagination. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-844-8532. 800-844-8532. That's 800-844-8532.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our Twitter Talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, another dense, foggy morning. It'll burn off a little bit in selected areas. Other than that, mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures around 43, 44 degrees. Tonight, the clouds and fog will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down about 36. For Thursday, fog in the morning, burning off to mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 46.
and then mostly clear skies for Thursday night. Low temperatures back down about 35. For Friday and running up into the weekend, warmer temperatures, highs in the upper 40s, and partly sunny skies.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Today's show is especially exciting. I mean, it really is. Linda does such a great job in lining up my shows. You know, somehow magically, they relate. So the show before, we're talking about what does it mean to be heart-centered leader. But today, with Leah Rowling, we are really going to get underneath the covers. And what do I mean by that? Is what she does, what Leah does, is she looks at how we show up in the world. She is a thought coach. She's a strategist. She's an author. She's a public speaker. And I love that she's unapologetically imperfect. Totally. Like, who isn't? Well, who will actually admit that they are? But she is also, you know, the crafter, you know, the creator, the strategist of her BE method. Now, when you take a look at this, and then you take a look at her toolkit, and you look at whether it's looking at cognitive behavior, whether it's neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, hypnosis, quantum science, it doesn't matter. Metaphysics, spirituality, when you put it all together, you can understand why she's extremely successful and extremely powerful in creating harmony in her personal life with her family and helping people tap into that for their lives. Today, you're going to get a giant dose of becoming in purpose, on purpose, and what that means to choose to become. Leah, it's great to have you.
So good to be here.
thought of you. I don't know, like, do your ears ring and stuff like
yes.
That? Yes. Okay. So.
Yes, it does.
I always prep for the show. And I discovered a part of becoming that I was not tapping into for myself and my company. And I went through and I started to look at this, and I said, I am really excited about what you're going to share. Because becoming is not an end game. It's a journey. But I would love to know from you, what has that come to mean to you? And what did you have to overcome? What did you have to shift to fully step in to not only talking about it, but to be the mentors of others?
I think for me, becoming means to step into my purpose. I have spent the good majority of my adult life looking for it, right? Looking for it as a way of, if found, like finally be worthy. If found, I'd be enough, right? If found, maybe I could stop people pleasing and pretending that I was something that I'm not. If I found my purpose, then maybe I wouldn't take people's criticism so personally, right? My dad left me when I was 8 years old, and I thought that if I found purpose, he'd find his way back to me. Or if I found purpose, I would minimize ever being abandoned again.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this 30-year, like, personal development, self-mastery journey really shaped my becoming, right? It shaped who it is that I am today, and it shaped my exploration in trying to look for ways and tools and strategies to inform our human potential, look for ways as to how it is and why it is that we sabotage, and to create strategies and tools and frameworks and techniques to stop sabotaging. I mean, I've been fired. I've quit. I've been divorced. I've had lots and lots of heartache. I have run away from my life, and personal development brings me right back into it every single time. And so for me, tapping into the tools that I've learned in personal development in hopes that, you know, this show and all that you do, Pat, for the world can kind of bring together this movement of social impact that we get when we become more masters of ourselves and become who it is that we've always been, right? But we just weren't aware of it because we're looking for our purpose outside of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And yeah. And then sometimes it shows up, you know, by an enlightened moment. And, you know, I'd say enlightened moment, not like a Tibet, like you're a monk in Tibet sitting on a mountain. You know, we call them aha moments in our pop culture now, right? Where we have an aha moment. But one of the things that you help people with is not just recognize you have aha moment, but then it's usually an action. Mm-hmm. And we often don't go to the next step, right? That's really where the rubber meets the road.
Yep.
When you get that aha moment, you know it's like it's as right as rain. You
mm-hmm.
know it, and then it ends up somewhere in between the couch cushion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, like that piece of chocolate that you had 6 months ago. But let's talk about that, because this is a journey of passion. This is something you're passionate about. And, you know, let me ask you that question. When somebody is as passionate as you, you must be seeing end game results, right?
Yes. Yep.
What
yep.
have you seen people shift from?
Oh, man.
I know.
I think the biggest shift, and again, most of the stuff that I teach is just common sense, but it's not common practice, right? I believe that we've not been taught how to think. We've not been taught how to feel. And we really haven't taught what it really means to be a human. And so the biggest shift that I've seen my clients make is the shift in personal responsibility, being the victim of their life and their circumstances and their situations, into empowerment, into the things that they control, and letting go of the things they can't, right? There's a reason why we don't do what we know. There is. And it has nothing to do with that we don't know what it is. We know. There's enough books. There's enough podcasts. There's enough information out there. You could pretty much Google, right, anything if you didn't know it, to know how to do anything at all. But it isn't in knowing. It's in being, right? It's in thinking and feeling as a be state, who it is that you want to be, who it is that you want to become. And if those aren't clear, right, and those aren't tied into some sort of an identity statement for you, right, for your future possibility,
yep.
you're never going to do. There will be no action,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I love this because I just want to throw something out. You know, I have been a business owner in the state of Washington for a long time. Actually, before I incorporated, even before that, as a sole proprietor of consulting. And I've never looked at or taken the opportunity to apply for funding and grants for my designate ethnicity, women-owned, And I was looking at the show today and getting ready, and I asked myself, how are you doing, Pat, with this becoming? What are the points for you that are like breathing? And then what are the points where you're either procrastinating or not seeking knowledge of, or, right, because knowledge, or that you shove like the chocolate in the cushions?
Yep.
And when you start to look at that, right, something gets revealed. And that's what you're talking about today. You know, revelation that turns into motivation, that turns into activation, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Because if we haven't ever thought about our thoughts, right, I mean, we have between 50 to 75,000 thoughts in any given day. And 95% of them come from our unconscious programming, which means it's from our past, right? And if it feels like you're living in Groundhog's Day, it is because you are. If you're not intentional and if you're not truly thinking about what you're thinking about, which requires some intentionality, requires thought downloads, requires journaling, requires an intention to your priorities and your focus. And when we don't do that, right, we do get caught up in all of the sabotagers, the doubt, the delay, the division that we currently are plagued with in the society today because we're not thinking about it intentionally.
I want to ask you this when we come back from break. And for those of you just tuning in, you know, this is the first of a lot of conversations we're going to have with Leah Rowling. When we come back, we're going to talk about this idea of the light bulb. Now, there's a moment that I know everybody can point to. It doesn't matter when it happened. It could be 3 years old, 5 years old. It doesn't matter. But there's this moment that the little light bulb goes on. It's an inside light bulb, right? And you have a sense of OMG. I am getting a glimpse of who I am. Wow. And then you don't know what to do. When we come back, Leah's going to take us on a journey. But before we go to break, how do people find out about you? How do they work with you? All of the above. How do they help and learn to become?
Well, you can find all about me on my website, www.leahrowling.com. I do one-on-one coaching, and I have a becoming group for women. Searching, right, for this becoming experience, seeking something more, and doing it together as a amazing community of women. I do a different personal development topic every month, and we do it workshop style, and then we really dive in to consume it and apply it in our life and do all sorts of life coaching. So, that's how you can find me, and I would love to meet you.
Oh, my gosh. When we come back, here's the question. Like I said before, you got a glimpse. Maybe you looked in the mirror. Maybe you got a sense of, oh, is that me? Or here's the one that I love. You looked in the mirror, and you say, I am totally unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. Now what? I'm not going to answer that. Leah's going to answer that. Benny, let's go to a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Yes, what? You don't need to wait until the new year to set new goals for yourself. Hi, I'm Joan Marlowe, the host of Awareness to Action, and I'm taking this concept to a whole new level. I've developed a program to take your awareness to action in 90 days. Let me introduce you to your day one. Day one can start any day you choose, so why not now? We will use powerful brainstorming, mastermind, visioning, and goal-setting techniques to open your awareness of what you really want in your life and take action with intention to get there. Choose to work with me one-on-one or in a small group. Let's connect, lift each other up, and hold each other accountable. I'm offering a free consult to design your program.
Visit my site, peacefulhealing.com, to connect with me, and let's find out when your day one will begin.
Are you ready to experience full-body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
You have traits of ADD or ADHD? It can be hard to meet society's expectations of productivity when traditional approaches to time management and organization don't work for your unique brain. You need customized strategies. In the ADHD Self-Mastery Podcast with Bonnie Mengku, you get concise, actionable solutions to help you modify your approach and achieve your goals. Learn more about Bonnie at thrivewithadd.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Courtney Citrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goal? Fourth, use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you've reached your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares practical tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you learn to live your best life. Live the good life, connecting your physical and spiritual self with Sabrina Wright. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationDocRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Leah Rowling is joining me here today. And, you know, this is really what I love about being able to share with all of you people that have dedicated and are dedicating their lives to helping other people become. And the backdrop for all of this, and you'll find this out about Leah as you move forward, the backdrop, 9 times out of 10, is usually a life experience, which was a gift to her or something that may be happening to you that may not seem like a gift at the moment, right? But it then turns out to be your becoming on purpose, your becoming. Sometimes you may get the whole enchilada and get the whole picture, or you may have to take certain steps and get it 1 minute at a time. Leah, thank you so much for today. Look, I know you're passionate about this journey, and what I discovered about passion, when I get passionate, it comes from a place that is both within, but somewhere at a higher, whatever you want to call that. Can you talk, get in a glimpse of who I am? Now, that thing in the mirror that I did, that was not a glimpse of who I was. That was like, oh my gosh, that is not the you I thought you were. Mm-hmm. That's not even... Take us through when we get this glimpse of knowing who we are. Because 9 times out of 10 for me, even though I've gotten a glimpse, boy, I've had to get some guidance to figure out, do I get off the couch now?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Right? I think for so many of us, myself included, the biggest thing into stepping into that purpose is to think about your life and your mindset with an abundant lens. And what I mean by that is so many of us are thinking about our life based on our experiences, and because of the brain, right, it looks for scarcity. It looks for the negative. It looks for things that you should watch out for, right? And so when we think about our future and our possibilities and our potential, right, so many times we shut down because we don't believe that we're capable. And so the biggest thing that I find in my clients and even in my own becoming was my belief. And I think it's a failure to believe in three things. I think it's a failure to believe in something bigger than yourself, whether you call it God or universe, or even, like for me, my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
And she believed in me when I had no business believing.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes I have to borrow her belief.
Yeah.
Right? And the other two beliefs is just the belief in your capabilities and your belief in your commitment. Because you have a bunch of evidence. You have a bunch of stories that you've told yourself where you haven't followed through. You haven't been a person of your word. And you make that mean that you're not capable of ever being that person. And what I want to remind everyone listening is that what happened in your past is not an indicator. It never is, of what is available for you in your future. The only thing that is required for your future, right, is you championing consciousness.
Yeah.
That's it. Always.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because, you see, that part of the journey we don't talk about. And if you've never entered the realm of this, this is something that you have to learn with another person. You learned it from your mom. I will tell you that you know Linda, right?
Yeah.
I know you've talked to Linda.
She's so great.
Linda's my best friend. She's been my best friend since 1972. Her family basically took me in so many ways. Everything from Joan teaching me how to set the dining room table. She never wavered in her belief for me at all, ever, ever. You know, even when I declared I was going to get a PhD, and here I was, and then I said, I don't even know what it is, and I didn't even have an undergraduate degree. But she never wavered, and her answer to me was, of course you will. Now, it really leads to this next question for you. Because there have been points in my life, and I wonder if you've had these too. Well, we've been around people that were not supportive. And you said this earlier today. We have been put in a situation, and we talked about this. We've been put in situations now where people have had to be in homes together, never spending that much time together. But there is an impact from the people we also put ourselves around, isn't there?
100%. Yep.
Yep. And they will either help us move along,
mm-hmm.
but all of this, as you call it, is in the art of the study of self, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Never ends.
That never ends.
That never ends.
And the people that we are being put into in these times in this way, what I'm going to put in parentheses, difficult, because there's no such thing, it's just a thought, but these difficult people, right, they are our best teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They teach the easy ones, like your friend Linda, like they're easy, right? Right? They don't really summon the need for us to grow and expand and be curious, right? But it's the difficult ones that we can either allow to summon some wisdom from, or we can allow them to tear us down and allow them to make us feel, which isn't even possible, a certain way that we don't want to feel, right? And a lot of the coaching that I do, especially in these areas of self, and this one, this particular area of self, is the connected area of self. That's all with our relationships. So much of my coaching is on relationships and the quote-unquote difficult people in them. And it's just the revealing that there's no such thing as difficult people, right?
Yeah. Look, everything we do is in relationship to other people.
Yep.
Even if we feel like we just keep us to ourselves. And the reason I say that, and, you know, I had a mentor say this to me, I don't know how many decades ago, but she looked at me and she said, look, it's real simple for you. Here's the deal. You're going to have to learn to be your best with the other people around you, because if you were meant not to learn that, you would have been given your own planet. You'd be on your own planet like just you. And you'd be sitting there doing anybody else except relationship with the land. But that's not us here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do is in context of another human being in some strange way, isn't it?
Always. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Always. Yep.
Mm. When we come back from break, the number one question for most people that really want to take the journey that you described, to take the journey with you, what's stopping you?
Mm.
What is it that shows up that puts the brakes on? Sometimes it's a slow pump at a brake, you know that one? Sometimes it is, boom, hitting that brake so hard, and most of the time you are not even aware that you have just stopped the car. Take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back with Leah, and when we come back, I'll make sure you have plenty of information. We're going to also talk about the approach that Leah takes. What she uses, how does she work with people, and what does steer actually mean to her and to the people that work with her? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Well, some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. It just doesn't feel good. Well, The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or purchase the book, go to transformationtalkradio.com or carlgreer.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in Becoming and Purpose and On Purpose with Leah Rowling joining me here today. Leah, we're going to do a number of shows, but there's a lot of information that I think is important for you to share, if you don't mind, because this we're talking about things, but you actually put these into practice. So it's not only just talking about it, it's also helping people really move through this. And we're going to talk about the process in a minute. How do people find out about you? Also, talk about, you know, what you have set up for women to really come to and be part of.
Yeah, so you can check me out on my website, www.leahrowling.com. I've put together a online coaching program called Becoming. For women looking for more, searching for more, yearning for more, knowing that there's something more, right? And I see it in so many clients. They've got what you were just talking, what we were just talking about, that they've got all the successes, they've got all the accomplishments checked. They live in, you know, beautiful homes and their kids are healthy and happy and fed, right? But they're not fulfilled. They're not tapping into necessarily who it is that they want to be and who it is that they want to become. And I believe that every day is an opportunity to grow and learn and to become a better version of ourselves. And so in this Becoming group, we take a personal development topic and I break it down workshop style. I try to teach it in a way that can be consumable with ideas and strategies and step-by-step, like blueprints, if you will, on how to make personal development a practice. And then we do some live coaching on it, and people bring me situations and circumstances where they find themselves struggling in or meeting up with challenges in that particular area. And just hearing coaching, just hearing different perspectives and different ways to think about things is gold, is money. And it's such an amazing group. And I'm so thankful for everyone in it. And I'm thankful to be part of that community. Yeah.
You know, there are so many things that come to mind, but one of the things that I really find is so important to really speak with you about and have you talk about is the fact that becoming is a journey and a process. And so it makes sense that your approach to it would also be a process, would also be a journey. The way you set it up, the way that you're able to talk with people and take them through step by step and phase by phase. Tell us about how you go about this. Tell us about your approach.
So the main framework that I teach is a framework that I learned a little bit from Brooke Castillo's Life Coach School, and I've intertwined different lessons and psychology and human behavior traits from, I mean, some of my very favorites, the Joe Dispenzas of the world, the Anna Goswamis, the Bruce Liptons, and I've put it into a framework so that people can understand how it is that we think and what does it mean to be human. And so that model is what I call the SPHERE model. And each letter, obviously, it's an acronym. Each letter stands for our humanness, right? The S is for the situation or circumstance, right? And what I try to get my clients to see is that it's neutral. It's neutral, meaning that the only reason we give meaning to it is because of our thinking. And our thinking is always optional, right? And so if we can dissect and delineate between the S in our life, T in our life, we can become more empowered in every single situation. The T then, of course, is for our thinking, right? And again, thoughts are not facts. They're not, right? We think they are because they seem very believable to us, and it's only because we have lots of confirmation bias and lots of evidence to confirm that they're right, right? But nonetheless, they're not facts, right? Facts would mean that a court of law would determine it as a fact, and everyone, every single person would agree, right?
Yeah.
And our circumstances include not only just things that happen to us, but life itself and other people. Other people they go in the S line, right? Which means that they're out of our control. I'll never forget, I was at a conference once, and this is like a decade ago, and this up-and-coming lady, huge disruptor in the personal development space, was talking about our roles as moms, and she basically said that we don't, and I'm not quoting her perfectly, but she basically said that we don't source our kids' happiness. And I was like, heck, I don't. And for me, that was such an aha moment because I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's right. I don't. I'm the S in their model, too, right? And freedom from that responsibility to source their happiness gives me the freedom to allow them to experience their life as they should, the ups and downs, the 50-50 of what this life is. Right? And then I don't have to get so uptight that they're having a bad experience. I don't have to mirror their bad day because that does nothing for our relationship, right? So T is for thinking. E is for emotions. Here's something that is fascinating. The only reason that any situation or any circumstance creates any sort of anguish for us, overwhelm for us, frustration for us, is because of the meaning that we give it to with our thoughts. We don't have a feeling, right? We don't have an emotion unless we have a thought. All of our emotions, overwhelm, frustration, anger, despair, all of them, they all come from our brain. And so if we can really learn to master our brain, we can learn to master our emotions. And our emotions are the fuel for our A. And what I mean by A is our action line. We talked earlier in the show that we don't do what we know. We do who we are as a state of being. And the T and the E create our state of being, which is the B method that I've created. But all of our action is fueled by how it is that we're feeling. So we've got to stop finding our life away. For me, that was my epitome. I was sick and tired. My demarcation line in the sand was, I'm done fighting. I'm done pretending that I'm fine when I'm not. Because when I pretend that I'm fine when I'm not, I miss an opportunity to heal what's in me that needs to be healed so that I can progress to the next level, right? And then the last letter of the fear model is R, right? And our results, you guys, are always proof of our original thought, right? Our thinking creates this feeling. This feeling fuels how we show up in our life. And how we show up in our life ultimately creates our results and our experiences. So our thinking and really needing to create a framework for understanding what that looks like is paramount in understanding why it is that you either have the results that you want in your life or don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what you're talking about is when you have that level of I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, I use, like, learn words in, like, that I live with, like an aha moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't walk around saying, oh, I had an epiphany or an awakening, although sometimes when it's big enough, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got to do this. Like, it was like the stupidest thing that I just discovered that's so big. But part of what you and I were talking about, too, had to do with times when you make a discovery. At least this is my experience. And thank you so much for walking us through your approach, your model, because people want to know, like, I'm going to work with you. What's your approach? How are we going to move together? Even if they don't say to you, Leah, oh, tell me your approach, they want to know, how are you going to get me from here to here? The other part of this, too, I'd like to ask you about is it is so transformative, transformational, what you just expressed, right? Because it re-engages you at different points of time. It re-engages you to re-look at a result, or it re-engages you, so to speak, to look at a thing. Let's just call it a thing, right? Like this morning, big aha moment for me when I started to go through your questions. I should ask myself that question. What it pinpointed to me was not something that wasn't already in me, but something that needed an invitation to be brought forth. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And isn't that what your process does? Isn't that why it's so effective? Because it's effective because it provides invitations at multiple points in time about multiple stages of the model, and it allows us to rethink ourselves, right?
Yeah, 100%. I had said earlier that 95% of our thoughts are from our unconscious thinking, in the past thinking. And if we continue to think that way in the past, will continue to create those same results, right? You find your key in your R every time in the future. So you can pretty much hijack that model wherever. If you're overwhelmed, we put overwhelm in the model, in the
yeah.
A line. And the default model, right, which is the one that's not conscious, which is why we have to champion that consciousness and create intentional models, right, that we can then create habits with. All a habit is a memorized model. So if we want to start making less decisions in our life and have more things be empowering habits and routines, we just have to create more intentional models. That's it.
I love it.
Literally, we can, like, if this is how you're showing up in your life, in your A line, we look to the E line as proof as to why it is, right? If these are your results, well, let's look at what it is that you're thinking. That's what I ask every single time I get into a workshop or I'm asked to do a workshop for corporate, right? What is the intention? What was the intention behind your mission? What is it that we were thinking about? And if they got the results that they wanted, it's an empowering thought in abundance. If it wasn't the results that they wanted, I promise you there's scarcity in the T line. Scarcity in the T line creates scarcity in the R line every time.
And boy, it's so important to know that and to understand it because I'm going to go ahead and skip the break. I want to talk about how this relates to meeting your own needs because I was just talking with Amber and Austin about leadership and sort of some of the things I discovered in the research that I did. But I was really struck today when I started to look at what you and I were going to talk about. I was really struck by an interesting moment. There's a line in the movie that just came out. I think it's in the older version in this movie, in the movie Dune. And it's one of the, actually, by the way, it's one of the misconceived moments in the book and in the first movie. It's actually the mom, right, that is feeding the son these thoughts of confidence. And one of them is this idea as he has his hand in this box and he was told he will feel pain. And he was told that if he pulls his hand out, he will die. I love this. And he was doing this. And there's a line that I started to think about today. And I wonder if it's actually true. The line is, fear is the mind killer.
Mm-hmm.
I think if fear is the mind killer, complacency has got to be the heart killer. What do you think?
100%. It is for sure. Yep. And complacency sabotages all true meaningful connections.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because as a leader, you get to be, and you're a coach, you're a leader. As leaders, we get to look at that part of our becoming. Where do we see that happening? Now, if we're the frog in the cold water, we don't see it happening until it's in our face.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we see it in the people that we work with? Where do we see it with our family? Where do we see it with ourselves? Because isn't this part of what you help people look at in a way where they don't get all critical, but can look at it and say, okay, we can work on that? Because you're right, complacency, I think that's the death of purpose.
Comfort, yeah. I totally agree. I think the place that we look at is that delineation line that I was talking about between our S and our T. You can throw anything in your S, whether it's your mother-in-law, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids, whatever. And whatever it is that you're thinking about them is what's giving them meaning. It isn't factual. I'm not saying it's not valid, right? I'm just saying that as a society, I think one of the biggest killers of our own empowerment is this idea that it's other people's fault. It's our boss's fault. It's our job's fault. I'd be happier if I moved somewhere. I'd be happier if people would validate me. I would be happier if she would be, more interested in who I am. I would be, and that is the biggest fallacy ever, because happiness doesn't come from the F line. Happiness comes from our T line, and people are just not very good at being who we want them to be. They're just not. Do you know who they're really good at being? They're really good at being them. And when we can just accept that, right? And acceptance doesn't mean approval, right? If we can just accept that people are just who they are based on their own experiences, we think that we see the world as it is. We don't. We see the world as we're in it based on our own experiences, which means that when we're looking to meet our needs, right? And I truly believe that negative emotion is just an unmet need, right?
I totally get, I agree with you completely.
Right? And so when we can learn to meet our own needs, right, the world opens up and we can start seeing potential in our future, because negative emotion is an unmet need within us that only we can solve. We can't look to everybody else to solve it. Right? It's ours to solve and ours to sit with, but yet we're so dismissive of any negative emotion because we don't want to feel it because we haven't been taught how to feel it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that we're talking about this because it brings me to one of my favorite prayers, serenity prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can replace God with whatever you want in the prayer. It doesn't matter. But, you know, when you're looking at that prayer, it has very specific meaning, and I want to ask you about this. Now, my mama used to say, girls, if I teach you one thing, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. Now, she was talking to three girls. Most of us didn't even understand half of what she was saying, but she would say it over and over again until there was a point in our life when we'd have a moment and we would just see her face and say, that's what she meant. But there's something really interesting that happens, and I want to talk with you about it. Nobody said that we wouldn't have to make tough love decisions, right?
Right.
And I say tough love decisions because I don't believe there are any tough decisions.
Right.
But the Serenity Prayer is interesting because what it really points to is it points to the fact that prayer, right? It's real simple. It's God, universe, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. So let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
Courage to change the things I can,
mm-hmm.
and wisdom to know the difference. And
yep.
This is what I was thinking about this morning with you, that I had the big aha moment, is holy cow, I am rolling a boulder up a hill around something I can't change.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm expecting someone to do something, perform in a certain way, meet a standard of expectations, and you've said it over and over to them. My mama used to say, you cannot get grapefruit from a hardware store. So we have to be able to look at that and say, wow, I've got a tough decision. Do I continue to have something happen in my life that doesn't meet my personal value standard?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I have to change it? Leah, what do you think?
Well, I think you have to look at it with that lens, through that lens. You either have to have discernment to change the situation, hold your boundary, right? Not expecting other people to uphold it, your boundaries for you to hold, or change your thoughts about it, right? You, for those out there that struggle with your in-laws and you're just sure that if you could get me on the phone, you'd be like, no, Leah, you don't understand. My in-law is this and this and this. I would still tell you, nope, your in-law is neutral. Your in-law is neutral. I bet you her mom likes her. So in a court of law, that's not going to hold up that she's not likable. You don't like her. So that work is your work to do. Why is it that you don't like her? And this is what always comes out. You don't like who you are when you're with her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in that situation, you really can't change. You can't swap the S. Right? Like, you wouldn't necessarily always want to just find a new replacement mother-in-law. If you can't change the S, guess what has to change? You.
Oh, my God. Look. We're going to talk about this in so much more detail, so much more. One of the greatest moments I had around that is with my table tennis coach. He is tough. He will say some things to me in a public forum training me, and I love it. I don't care what he's saying. Right? If he says to me in broken English, what are you doing? Why can't you get from over there to over there? That's like 6 inches. You can't move from over there to over there? No, I'm not going to hit the ball slower. You got to get from over there. And 5 people in the room will hear it and come up to me later and say, why do you take that from him? And I'm like, take what?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in future shows. What's green in my pasture may look like a desert in yours. And what you're helping us with today is understanding what our field is all about, what is ours to change and what is not. And you have an amazing process. Leah, thank you so much for today. Please tell people how they can find out more about you. Please tell them one more time.
Yes, of course. www.leahrolling.com. You can contact me. I do 20-minute strategy sessions on pretty much any topic. You can just throw it at me, right? And then you can find more information about our Becoming group. If you're wanting to make personal development a practice this year, like if this is the year you finally decided, you know what, I matter, dang it. And I want some tools in a community where I can really take personal development to the next level and really explore who it is that I am, my purpose on purpose. Right? Mm-hmm. I would invite you to give that look and join us this year, because you matter, because you do.
I love it, and I love what you said. Personal message, Leah, what do you want to leave us with today?
Oh, man. I think for me, my biggest message as I am, writing and praying and putting out my intention in the world is we've got to stop being mean. This division, that's happening in our in our country, in our world right now, if we don't start being kinder, which means we just have to have a no judgment tolerance, right? And not just a no judgment tolerance, and that we're going to be passive when other people are being mean, right? When we just sit and listen to it, but we don't quote unquote partake in it. No, we need to draw a line in the sand and be like, nope. We need to talk about the future and ideas and goals and positive. I'm walking.